The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Thanks for listening to the Believe You Me podcast, which is brought to you by Manscaped.com, the very best in below-the-belt grooming.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, what's up, everybody? How are you doing? Do not adjust your screens. That is not Anthony Smith. And yes, I'm in a tank top. Okay, I was just on a horse riding lesson. It was very hot and didn't have time to get changed because the Believe You Me podcast was calling. So I've got to answer. Harrington, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Michael. It was a fun weekend. I'm glad to be here filling in for Anthony Smith today, who is going to be back later on this week. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah, so he said on the text this morning he's in surgery right now, correct? Sorry, he's feeling groggy from the surgery.
Right, recovering.
What was the surgery that he had? Do you know?
So he talked about it last week. He was going to need to get the pins in place on his ankle because they couldn't even like surgically repair it. It had to be, from what I understood, it was like some screws and rods were going to need to be put in place to like attach his ankle together.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Anthony, rest up. He said he's feeling a little groggy still, of course. You know, when you come around from surgery, you know, you don't feel good. Then you got all the pills and whatnot. I remember I'd never had surgery because of any of my injuries until I moved here. That's another conversation, but whatever. They like to go in and tinker things. They fix things, let's be honest. In the UK, maybe they're not quite as quick to go under the knife because you got to wait for a while because it's all free. But I went to surgery. And when I came round, because you can't eat, can you? You know what I mean? Like from midnight the night before, no ingesting any fluid or food or anything like that because, you know, it can cause problems, you know, cause you to throw up and potentially die when you're under the anesthetic and whatnot. So you can't eat. So when I came round for my first surgery on my knee, it was just a little arthroscopic, a little cleanup. I was starving. And they're like, don't eat for a while. Because you're going to find that you're very nauseous. So you got to take it easy. And I'm like, yeah, sure, doc. Yeah. Oh, God, whatever. And I walk out and across the street from where the surgery center is, there's a California Pizza Kitchen. So we got straight over there, me and Rebecca. I'm stuffing my face. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, God, this is so good. This is the best pizza I've ever tasted in my life. Off my face on pain medication. You know what I mean? And then as we're walking out with my big fat belly, stuffed, feeling good. Next minute I'm just throwing up all over the car park. So if you're gonna have surgery, don't eat quite so quickly and be a fat bastard like me.
The doctor just nudging the nurse like, look, I knew he wasn't gonna listen. Yeah. I knew he wasn't gonna listen.
What a dickhead. He will not listen. He thinks he knows it all. So Anthony, rest up, buddy. He's gonna join us on Thursday. Big fights this weekend. Dominic Cruz taking on help me out, my mind's gone blank. Dominic Cruz taking on Marlon Chito Vera. Excited for that one. I'll be calling that one. We're going to talk about that more on Thursday. Hopefully Sugar Sean O'Malley's going to join us. He just messaged us right now. Yes, sir, he said. I said, are you good to join us at 1:30? He said, yes. I don't know if this is confused with the timings, but he might join us in just a second. I do want to get his opinion on that fight. Obviously, he knows Marlon Vera. Go on, Harrington. What are you saying?
He also may join in an hour because Arizona has that weird daylight savings time thing. So he might just be... We might be an hour off, and he might jump on at 2:30 your time, thinking it's 1:30.
Could be. Have they just changed their time zones because of the daylight savings?
I don't know. I know Arizona is super weird with that. They have like different time rules than pretty much any other state. So,
but hold on, is Arizona and California, we're in the same time zone, right?
Not necessarily, because I don't think they respect daylight savings time or something.
Jeez Louise, this is the confusion. We've been sitting here for ages killing time. I've been using my free time, of which I don't have a lot, chatting to Harrington, waiting for the O'Malley, you know, and now it's all making sense. All making sense.
Okay, so it's different. In Navajo County, Arizona, it's 251. In Phoenix, Arizona, it's 151.
Jesus Christ. No wonder. No mm-hmm. wonder. Anyway, all right. Okay, okay. So number one in the news story, I saw this. Leonardo Lowe. I can't pretend. I've heard his name. He's a jiu-jitsu practitioner, very, very well known, apparently one of the best in the world. I can't sit here and pretend that I followed his career or anything like that because I haven't, but I do know the name. Yesterday on social media, I just saw a lot of tributes. Mackenzie Dern, obviously, I'm friends with her. I saw her talking about him, and I thought, oh, the poor guy. Obviously, maybe he had a heart attack, or he was basically he's died. He's passed away. I forgot to mention that he's passed away, and I was like, wow, because on the Instagram from Mackenzie Dern, she never said the reason. You know what I mean? But then I Google it, and I see, you know, he was essentially murdered. But Harrington, give us a bit of background, please.
Yeah, so he was shot by a police officer. It wasn't
a police officer.
It was a military police officer. So
right, so that, hold on, but that's no, that's not a police officer. Military police? Fuck that. That ain't police. It's okay. Military police. You know, my brother was in the military police. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? For a little bit. They're just assholes.
And he couldn't get you out of a speeding ticket.
I got myself out of a speeding ticket. I got pulled the other day. Me and Ellie were going to an acting lesson Thursday. Fucking the worst traffic ever. My ADD mind here. Let's go back to Leonardo Lowe in a minute. Leandro. The traffic was so fucking bad, you know? And then like, I'm like, I've never seen traffic like this and we're going to be late. And then eventually it clears. And I'm like, fucking hell, thank God. There was an accident. Everyone looked like they were fine, thank God. Put the foot down. I was only going 87. But then I look in the rearview mirror. Whoop, whoop. I'm like, motherfucker, here we go. But, you know, the get out of jail card freeze worked many times. He was a UFC fan again. He goes, Michael Bisping? I'm like, yeah. He goes, all right, just slow down. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, Ellie, is he about? He's about, fuck off. Woof. Let's go. Anyway, where were we?
I was just wondering if you ever like signed gear to get out of a ticket. You know what I mean? Like, I got some gloves in the back. Can I get out of?
Because I was late to my acting lesson. And when I got there, I said, oh, I'm sorry. I you know, we got pulled over by the police. I was like, perfect excuse. You know, because he only kept me 2 minutes. We were going to be way later than that. I said, yeah, my bad. He's like, oh, you gave it the old, do you know who I am? I'm like, no, I would never, ever dream of fucking saying that ever in a million years. But he was a UFC fan, so it worked out. Anyway, so back to the military police that aren't police, but they are kind of police if you're in the military. Go ahead.
So this guy, he was, I guess he was trying to provoke him, right? It didn't say exactly how, but it said that he was provoking him throughout the night. And then eventually it escalated to a point where he came over to the table that Lowe was sitting at a nightclub. He was at a concert at a nightclub. He had some bottles in front of him. I'm assuming it was like a VIP table. This military police officer comes over, grabs a bottle from his table and just starts, you know, like going to town, like mocking him. Essentially, Lowe is not taking this, you know, comes up, gets the guy to the ground, gets him, you know, chokes him out, like gets him into a submission position, right? The guy is tapping out. He's had enough. People get up to separate them. As he gets up from the separation, he pulls out a gun and shoots him twice in the head, then kicks him while he's on the ground dying before running from the scene.
No, it's awful. Absolutely awful. I mean, what do you say? I mean, obviously the guy's a piece of shit. There's no need to say that because it goes without saying, but my heart goes out to his family. Anyone that is friends, oh, Jesus, just awful, just awful. But that's a really fun way to start the show, Harrington. Number one in the news. Someone got shot in the head twice and then kicked on the floor. Where do we go with that?
Well, he is out right now. They're still looking for him. So if you have any information on the killer of Lowe,
don't approach him.
Yeah, don't approach him, but do, you know, alert the authorities because authorities are looking for him. But I was going to ask, right? So this is a guy who knows martial arts, right? Some guy's messing with him in the streets. He uses the gentle art, right? He uses a jiu-jitsu. Well,
Listen, it's known as the gentle art, but jiu-jitsu can be not so fucking gentle, especially if you're on the receiving end of it, but continue.
Significantly more gentle, though, than like, you know, hitting him with a head kick and punching him out, right? Which obviously was within his skill set and something he probably could have done to this guy. Right.
Well, there's no head kicks in jiu-jitsu, so you can't just assume that he could head kick someone. Maybe he's got bad legs. Maybe the flexibility isn't all that. Maybe he was born with a club foot, and he's like, I got to do jiu-jitsu. Do you know what I mean? We are not besmirching the career of Leandro Lowe, by the way, right?
I didn't think there was guns in jiu-jitsu either, but
there's no guns. Go on, Harrington.
I'm just making the point that this guy, who's a lifelong martial artist at 33 years old, probably could have knocked this dude out if he wanted to, right? Instead, he takes him down, chokes him out, does the morally responsible thing, and he gets shot for it. Yeah. So I'm asking, as somebody who could use his hands, who could use his legs, how would you approach that situation if somebody is coming over and trying to bait you into a confrontation like that?
Well, there's no right or wrong, because ultimately the guy had a gun and as we know, was fucking prepared to use it. You know, and that is, and I don't want to get into a whole thing about guns, but that's the problem, that if there's guns around, people are going to fucking use them. People pull them out. People have tempers flare. And I'm not talking about your Second Amendment rights or anything like that before. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm not having that discussion. I know how everyone feels about it, and I respect your beliefs and all the rest of it. I'm not talking about that, but I'm just saying. So in that situation, I mean, if people are carrying guns, and even now more and more states are allowing people to carry them concealed, you know what I mean? I mean, what do? You just don't fucking fuck with anyone, do you? You know, hopefully most people are law-abiding citizens. This guy was clearly a piece of shit. You know what I mean? He shoots him in the back of the head twice and then kicks him in the head whilst he's clearly dead. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know. Tells you everything you need to know. The guy's a fucking pussy starting a fight, and then when it doesn't go his way, when he can't do it, settle it like a real man, he pulls his fucking gun out. But, you know, people do dumb shit. People, when they have a gun, they're more inclined to fucking use it, I would have thought. But I don't want to talk about guns, because it's just going to infuriate people. Go back to your own fucking country, Bisping. You don't know what you're talking about. You're right, I don't. So we won't talk about that. But it's fucking awful.
And this happened in Brazil.
Yeah, no, it did happen in Brazil. You know, but guns are everywhere. We're going to get off that, Brian, yes.
So there's a video that I'm 100% not going to play, but in Brazil, motorcycle jackings are a huge issue, and now you're legally allowed to just murder them on the street if they're like jacking you.
And yeah,
it's like a video compilation of it.
I saw a video online about somebody getting the fucking car at motorbike store, and they run after him to shoot him. Yeah, play it. Fuck it, let's get it on. Oh, there's the O'Malley. There he is.
What's up, boys?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Oh, I'm fucking great. How are you?
So clarify for me, because I was like, oh shit, O'Malley's fucking flaked on us again. Sorry, I don't mean flaked on us again, but is there a time difference there? Because then Harrington was like, oh no, in certain parts of Arizona it's 1:30, in certain parts it's 2:30.
That guy's high. That ain't true.
He is fucking high all the time. How you doing, Sugar Sean O'Malley? Thank you for joining us. I appreciate you, buddy.
Yes, sir. Doing good. Just woke up from a nice little 30-minute nap. Trained this morning. Nap. Gonna go train here in a little bit, but I feel great.
Yeah, the post-training nap I loved. And that it's still something that I do today. You know what I mean? My wife calls me a lazy bastard, but I'm like, babe, I think it's just ingrained in me now. Do you know what I mean? When I have my lunch, I've got to take a little nap.
No, yeah, I think it's probably more beneficial than actually being lazy. Yeah, I would say absolutely. Intelligent.
There you go. Last time I saw you, you were out in London. Obviously, your fight was announced with Piotr Jan, so we had like a little Q&A thing. Got a little bit awkward on there, if you ask me. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'll give you a few recommendations for some restaurants and stuff. Did you check any of those out?
We went to the Indian food one.
Gymkhana.
I don't remember what it was called, but I found out I'm not the biggest fan of Indian food.
You didn't like it?
I didn't. There wasn't anything I was like, I want more of that. Everything was like kind of just tasting a little bit of everything. Nothing really kind of, you know, I'll stick with a bacon cheeseburger if I'm going out.
Yeah, there you go. And let me ask you, in general, you didn't have the best time in England. I mean, to be fair, you were just in and out. And the guys from BT Sport, they set you up, by the way. They did that on purpose. They took you to like a place with like pie, peas and mash, jelly eels. You know what I mean? I've never had a jellied fucking eel in my life.
Yeah, no, the food, I didn't get to experience anything that I was like, damn, that was delicious. I'm coming back. So maybe I just have to go again, more time, less things planned, kind of adventure out and explore a bit. But, I didn't have the worst time.
Yeah. Well, you were just in and out. I feel now it is my duty that if you're ever in London and I'm there, I'm going to have to take you out, show you a good time. All right, guys, let's talk about BetterHelp.com. Listen, everyone's going through something right now. And if you're not going through it right now, you've probably been through something, or you're going to go through something, or you know someone that's going through something. Talking to people is the way forward. It's going to help. I mean, like Paddy the Baddy said recently, you know, if you're having these kind of negative thoughts, do yourself a favor, speak to somebody. Mental health is not something you should be ashamed of. We all need help with it. So whatever you are looking for, BetterHelp has a wide range of counselors available for you. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling. Financial aid is also available, and it's easy to get started. Once you do sign up, they will match you with your own licensed professional therapist who you can communicate with in just under 48 hours. This is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done online. So no waiting in traffic. No sitting in a waiting room, you know, no feeling like a weirdo. Just sign up. Go to betterhelp.com, right? We have a promo code for you, I do believe. Yeah, go to betterhelp.com/believe. They will connect you with a licensed professional therapist in no time whatsoever. Join the over 1 million people that have taken charge of their mental health. And if you don't like it, you can switch it up. BetterHelp.com/believe. You're going to love this, honestly. A problem shared is a problem halved, is the old saying. But if you talk about something, you're going to find that maybe things aren't as bad as what you seem. And it's really, really going to help you. Give it a shot. Go to BetterHelp.com/believe. Get 10% off your first month. One more time, BetterHelp.com/believe for 10% off your first month. And good luck. Anyway, enough of that. As I said a moment ago, fighting Piotr Jan. Tell me how this came around, Sean. It's a massive jump up for you. I love it, by the way.
Yeah, you know, I've been calling for this fight for a while. Obviously, I kind of knew I wasn't going to get the fight a couple years ago because, you know, I had built up all these knockouts, built up enough hype. Oops. Everyone in the top 10 had a fight booked except for Peter Yan and Pedro Munhoz. I was fighting Pedro, obviously, so he did have a fight booked. And Peter said after that fight, if you win, call me out. I won. Joe Rogan forgot to give me the mic, and I didn't get to make a call out in the cage. So, you know, it kind of happened like that. At UFC, I said, hey, I'm ready to go. Get me back in there. I'm not going to fight. You know, I've earned my spot to fight someone, you know, in the top five, I'd say, by, in my eyes, beating Pedro Munhoz and being the biggest name in the bantamweight division.
I certainly agree with that. You have earned that, Sean. And I do think you're the biggest name in the bantamweight division. I say it routinely, not just because I'm talking to you now. You are the biggest star. And it's crazy because bantamweight now as a division is really starting to gain momentum. You know, it kind of used to be overlooked, you know, but now you got yourself, obviously the champ, Dominic Cruz, Chito Vera, Jose Aldo. I mean, the list fucking goes on. And of course, you're there as well. I got to ask, and people would say I was a pussy if I didn't challenge you on it, about Pedro Munhoz. Was there any talk of a rematch happening, or is that ship sailed?
That ship sailed. I mean, there was no reason. I'm fighting to a guy who fought with one eye. You watch that replay back. You could say I poked him in the eye a little bit. It didn't really – I mean, Jared Cannonier, two fights later, got stabbed through the eyeball and continued to fight. So to say a rematch would be – he had the option to fight. He said it was back-to-back eye poke. You can go watch the entire fight in slow motion. You're not going to see another eye poke. You might not even see one. Depends who's looking. I don't know. There's no point. If you go look at the stats, look how many times he hit me in the head. Look how many times he hit me in the body. How many losses do I have on my record? So there's no point to go back and fight him.
Nope, fair enough. Fair enough. You got to keep the show moving along. I get that. We'll talk about Piotr Jan in a minute because I am interested in that. But I'm more interested in you as a person, Sean. You are a captivating star. You are charismatic. You're driving around in a fucking pink Lamborghini. Tell me about that. Tell me about how this pink Lamborghini came around. I love it. I wouldn't be able to pull it off, but you 100% can.
Oh, yeah, I justified it as a tax write-off in – I mean, I guess it is. You know, I got a certain loan to because I wrapped it the color of my merch. You know, it's advertisement. I dropped the watermelon sugar, the pink and green merch, what happens to be the same color as the Lamborghini. So, yeah, I've always wanted, not always wanted a sports car. I'm not going to say that. I mean, as a kid, maybe you'd look at cool cars, you think that'd be cool to have. Yeah. And then you get a certain amount of money sitting in the bank. You know, I already got this $1 million house paid off. I got a couple other houses. My mom's living in the house. You know, I got, you know, stock money in the stock market. I got this, I got that. I was like, well, what's, you know, I'm not going to die if I buy a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
It's marketing. So now it's just sitting in my garage, take it out for a little spin every once in a while. But yeah, it's fucking fun. I love it.
Yeah, no, and good for you, man. You got to enjoy yourself. You only get one life. Fuck it. I used to have, and it's not a Lamborghini, I used to have a Maserati Quadriporte GTS, and it was all fucking modified and shit, and but it was so obnoxious. Do you know what I mean? And like, if I was just going down like to Ralph's for some milk, I just felt like, I was like, I got to get rid of this because I look like a fucking asshole. Do you ever feel like that? Or, you know, when you're pulling up at like a bakery to get some bread, I don't suppose you, well, you have an older kid. You're not running around buying fucking bread, are you?
No, I'll take my Tesla, one of my Teslas. Oh, there you go. Buy some bread.
Yeah. I'll take one of my Teslas to go for the bread. Oh, shit. Yeah. What else is going on in your life? Before we get into the, not boring stuff, but, you know, the technical stuff with Peoria Jan, what else is happening?
This fight's, you know, pretty much on the back of my mind, so everything's revolving around that. You know, I'm trying not to be in camp too soon. It's still, you know, a little over 10 weeks out, which is, you know, that's a good amount of time to start a fight camp, but I'm coming off a 12-week fight camp from the Pedro Munhoz fight. I never really got out of shape. I took 3 weeks off from training. Got back into kind of the routines of everything. So I'm in pretty good shape as it is right now. And I don't want to burn out. I don't want to peak too soon. So I'm kind of trying to be disciplined on not being too disciplined on, you know, thinking I'm in fight camp. Cause this is really no different of a fight. If I can go into this fight and feel as good as I did and do the same exact training camp as I did for the Pedro fight, for the Haulian Paiva fight, for all these fights, I'm going to beat Peter Yan. So for me, I'm not looking at this fight like, oh, this is the number one guy. This is just another fight for me that I need to do what I'm capable of doing. I need to get in the best shape I could possibly be in and, you know, just make it to the fight healthy. So I'm not doing much different. I'm training. You know, we took the family and the friends up to Sedona for a couple of days over the weekend, kind of got out into the nature a little bit. But other than that, it's just training and living the same life I've been living the last 10 years, which is going to the gym. Nap and do the same shit over and over.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say I'd give you a little bit of advice, but you probably know this anyway. But for me, whenever I had a big fight, which towards the end, they're all big, you know, and you want it so badly and you want to win so bad. So I just push, train more and more and more. It's the totally wrong attitude. You know, because you're just driving yourself. You're getting weaker and weaker. You're overtraining more and more. Like Jason Perillo used to always say, it takes confidence to take a day off. Do you know what I mean? So, and that means that when you're feeling good, you're ahead of the game, you're ahead of the plan. So, you know what? Today I'm good. Today doesn't mean you're going to go out and drink beers and stuff like that. But today I'm going to go get a massage. I'm going to go for a walk with the dog or whatever. I'm going to chill. I don't need to go to a gym and have my face caved in and push my body to the absolute limit because right now I'm good. So that's nice to hear. Fights in Fight Island. Is there any kind of quarantine or anything like that now? I mean, or is that all over?
Yeah, and not that I've heard. I haven't heard anything about testing or being in the bubble. I think that's pretty much all over. I'm going to go out October 6th, I think, which is the Thursday. So I'll do my last sparring Wednesday. And then I'm going to go out a little over 2 weeks early, just get settled in, get nice and comfortable with the team. Just the boys are going to go out. And, you know, that's going to be the hardest part, probably being away from Elena, my little princess, who will be almost two at that point. Being away from her for 2 weeks, longest I've been away from her is probably 4 days. And that gets tricky. So, but you know, I think you can go somewhere mental in a warrior kind of way. And it's all about perspective. So, you know, I'm going out there to, you know, go to war. And, you know, we need that testosterone flowing. So we're going to be, you know, surrounded by the guys.
Nice.
I think it'll be good.
You know, again, you referred to your daughter there as your little princess. And I remember in London, after we had that little press conference thing, You said straight away, I said, oh, when are you staying? Are you staying for the fight? And you're like, nope, I've got to get back to my little princess. And I respected that so much because obviously you're a young man and you're famous and successful. You know, you could have stayed for the weekend, gone to the fight, reveled in front of the UFC fans and had some drinks and partied a little bit. But you were like, no, I'm going to get back to my little princess because I've got a fight camp coming up soon. And that one-on-one time is very important to me. And I just thought I had so much respect for you saying that, Sean.
Oh, I appreciate that. And I also, no defense, but I was in Miami 3 or 4 days before that, hanging with the boys.
Yeah.
And I hadn't got to see Elena. And then the UFC called like 2 days notice. Hey, you're going to, or do you want to go to London? And of course, I'm not going to pass up on an opportunity, you know, to be in front of the UFC cameras and get my name out there more than it already is. But yeah. That's, you know, she's so little right now. I was even telling Danny, I'm like, God, once she's a big girl, which is going to be before we know it, it's like, I'm going to miss having this little princess just walking around the house with her diaper hiked up and her little gut hanging out. Like I can see why people have multiple kids. You know, I'm already kind of like, I don't want to be gone too many days because there's not going to be many more days where she's this small. So yeah, getting home to her is super important for me.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because you take it for granted these times, but they don't last forever. And when they're gone, they're gone. Anyway, Piotr Jan, one would think, you know, if I look at this fight, and obviously a massive opportunity for you, you got to think it's a number one. Well, this has to be a number one contender matchup. You beat Piotr Jan, it's a title fight next. I would assume the path to victory is working a lot of takedown defense, a lot of range management, keeping him on the end of your straight shots and a lot of footwork. But how do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this is another fight. Obviously, the number one contender. I don't think it will be, you know, I really don't think it's going to be that much wrestling defense. I thought maybe against the Pedro fight, I thought he would try to wrestle a little bit more. But then when I got in there, he realized he was about 16 feet away from me and he couldn't there's no way he could have shot on me without getting knocked out. So I think this fight's going to be a sweet kickboxing match. Peter says he's a master of boxing. I believe I'm the best MMA striker in the UFC. So I do believe it will be a very interesting high level kickboxing match. Peter's good in the clinch. He's got some good little trips and stuff. And you know, I don't think he's coming to wrestle. And if he does, I wouldn't mind choking him. I'm very, very confident in my jiu-jitsu. I really haven't got to show it at all, which has been nice. And that's because I don't, you know, I prefer not to go to the ground. I prefer not to be on my back. It looks like you're losing. So yeah, I don't think I'm going to have to use too much wrestling defense. You know, I grapple more than I do anything. I've been grappling the last 5-6 years more than I, you know, do anything at all. I don't really spar throughout the week. I hit mitts a couple times a week in camp. For the most part, I'm just doing, you know, grappling and strength and conditioning. So if I got a grapple, I'm ready. I do believe it will be more of a kickboxing match. That's kind of how I see it.
Yeah, I agree. When I was saying takedown defense, I was talking more about the trips. He has some nice little foot sweeps, doesn't he? But you're right, in terms of your jiu-jitsu, I know you've been working hard on that for years now, but it's not something we ever get to see. You train in the gi a lot, right? So what belt are you currently?
I'm a brown belt. I've actually haven't been training in the gi as much just because when I am in camp about 12 weeks out, I just do no gi. So I went from that 12-week camp to, you know, taking 3 weeks off to pretty much back into a 12-week camp. So, you know, the last 6 months, I'd say I haven't really been training in the gi too much, but doing just a ton of no gi, slapping the hands, starting from the feet, none of that stuff where you sit on your butt and fucking play guards, you know, doing, you know, I really actually enjoy wrestling. Wrestling's, I definitely probably have underrated wrestling myself, offensive wrestling. I've really been finding a lot of enjoyment in that.
So you go out there, you fight Piotr Jan on Fight Island, you beat him, you get a number one contender matchup after that. Sorry, a title fight after that, pardon me. Who do you think is going to be the champ? Aljamain Sterling, is he fighting TJ Dillashaw? Is that signed? Is that on that fight card as well?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Shit. Well, it's all there. Fight. That's perfect, though, for you.
I mean, time-wise, that should work out. I know a lot of people, Dominic Cruz versus Chito Vera is coming up. I know some people are saying that's a potential title shot, which I think, you know, respect to both of those guys. They have both been grinding and, you know, fighting the top guys. That could be a potential title shot for those two. So who knows if they promise Cheeto or Dom, say, hey, you guys win this fight. You guys are fighting the winner of TJ versus Aljo. We still got Merab versus Jose Aldo coming up. You could potentially say Jose Aldo could be fighting for the title. You know, the dude's a fucking living legend. Mm. Or it could be, yeah, Aljo versus TJ. Whoever wins that, I could be fighting them. So I'm keeping it. I'm keeping it open. You know, I'm not set on who's next too much. I'm going to, you know, beat up Peter. And then I do believe I have a good shot at all those guys. You know, the Cheeto Vera rematch is huge. People, you know, would love to see that one back. I think there's only one person in the world that thinks he won, and that's Cheeto. And maybe some of his friends and family. But,
yeah, listen, so I think I'm buddies with Cheeto, so I'll stay out of that one. But on that one, on as you said there, about Cheeto and Dominic Cruz, I'm friends with both of those guys, but I don't see them getting a title shot off the back of that. If you beat Piotr Jan, he was just a champion. He's a very dominant fighter. You're, you know, as I said, the biggest star in the bantamweight division. So I think all the stars line up perfectly for you. And then potentially, if Cheeto pulls it off, if he doesn't, there's Dominic Cruz. Obviously, he's a legend. But if Cheeto pulls it off, I mean, what a great scenario that would be. You guys get to rematch for potentially your first title defense.
Yeah, I was trying to be humble. You're absolutely right. I fucking beat Peter. I'm going to be the champ. I'm going to fight for the belt.
Come on.
That's what everyone wants. You know, the UFC needs a champion like me. And so, yeah, you're 100% right. I go out there, starch Peter. You know, he face plants October 22nd in Abu Dhabi on a massive card. Yeah, you're pretty accurate in saying I'd probably get the title shot, especially with Aljo and TJ being on that card. And I know – I'm pretty sure TJ said that he wouldn't fight me for his title defense or something. I don't know. I mean, there's a couple ways you could look at that. You could look at that as like he doesn't want to fight me because he knows I'm good, or that's pretty much the only reason I can figure out why he wouldn't want to fight me. I'm the biggest fight in the division for anybody.
I agree. All right, we won't keep you too much longer. I know you got to get to training and all the rest of it. But on that fight card, Islam Makhachev versus Charles Oliveira. Great fight. How do you see that one going?
I don't know how I see it going, but I'd love to see Charles sub him. Charles submitting Islam would be so sweet. Thank God. It's hard to say. We haven't really got to see Islam fight. I guess there's not anyone really like Charles. So I don't know. It's hard to say. I think Islam's best win was over Bobby Green, right? His last fight. I mean, Bobby Green's 50-50. I don't know. I think Charles by sub in the later rounds would be what I would love to see. Then fuck it, Connor versus Charles, fuck it after.
fuck it, let's go. You know what, it's so nice to see, because what you just said there about Charles Oliveira, I feel like that echoes the sentiments of the majority of the fighters. You know what I mean? He has won everyone over because, I mean, look at the path that he had. Look at the losses and all the rest of it. And now the fucking excitement. And just to hear you saying that, and I say the same thing, and everyone feels the same way. Listen, Islam's great. You know, not more power to him. I respect him big time. But just Charles, there's something about the fighting spirit that he has shown that just wins you over. Before I let you go, Cheeto Vera, Dominic Cruz this weekend. What do you think?
God, such an interesting fight. You know, I picked Cheeto over Rob Font. I picked Cheeto over Frankie Edgar. And the reason I say that is because if I say Dominic Cruz, people are like, oh, you just fucking don't like Cheeto or whatever it is. That has absolutely nothing to do with it. I do believe, you know, I've been there with Cheeto. He feels slow, and I'm not saying that because I'm trying to talk shit. I'm just giving you my honest feedback. I think he was, you know, if he felt slow to me, in his defense, everyone does. Dominic Cruz seems to be a little bit faster. It is 5'5". I'm not counting Cheeto out. He's very durable. He's good everywhere. You know, I think if Dominic Cruz had a healthy camp, there's a big if he had a healthy camp. You know, you don't know about his knees, his ankles, his feet, whatever. I think if he had a healthy camp, this is his last kind of shot. I think, you know, he can get the job done by a decision, a close decision. If I had to guess, I would say Dominic Cruz by a very, very close decision.
All right. There we go. And then Harrington. It is the Believe You Me podcast. We have a little runt of a producer. His name is Harrington. No offense, Harrington, but we went to Twitter. We threw your name out there. Harrington, what are the people on Twitter? What do they want to know from Sean O'Malley?
I thought this one was pretty interesting. Specifically, what about Piotr Jan's game has you this confident heading into this fight?
He's 5'5". That's it.
Hold on, I'm bringing up a few of these. What else you got, Harrington? Some good ones, some funny ones. For fuck's sake, let's make it entertaining.
Are you specifically bringing in 5'2" fighters to spar with you ahead of your matchup with Piotr Jan? That's a real question.
Oh, that's funny. I love the Sugar Fam. No, I'm pretty much, you know, I spar at the MMA lab. They always have new guys. They have, you know, up and coming, really good up and coming pros. They have guys that are in the UFC. The MMA lab has always been good for me to go there and spar. They always have good people there. So I'm going to just go to the lab, see who's there. You know, I have a couple idea of guys that I'd like to spar and make it happen.
I remember
at Jehovah Rogan wants to know, favorite place to eat in Arizona?
Jehovah Rogan. Oh, there's this new place called Aftermath that it opened up probably not even a year ago. And I went there a couple days ago, still out of camp, far enough. I ordered a burger. I get it every time. Fucking delicious. I had to order a second one. Almost smashed the second one. It was just – that's why you don't smoke weed before you go eat dinner. You order a second burger. Oh.
All right. Sean, if you could pick one retired fighter, bring them back in their prime to fight, who are you picking?
Fucking Bruce bring me Lee. Back, Sean. Bring me.
I don't
want to be back in my prime. I want two fucking eyes and two knees.
I'm aware of my level of skill. I couldn't beat Bisping, so I got to beat someone that I got to know. I got to bring back someone I could beat. I'd say Bruce Lee. It would be the biggest name, and I believe I could beat him because I don't think he did. Does he know jiu-jitsu? Come on.
He did do an armbar and Enter the Dragon, though. Let's be honest. You mentioned food there. When you weigh in for your next fight, or when you generally weigh in, what is the go-to post-weighing meal? Well, not immediately after the weigh-in. Okay. At night, when you go out with the team.
Last time, I went to Fuhu at Resorts World in Vegas. And if you haven't been to Fuhu, you have to go. It's fucking insanely delicious.
I was just at Resorts World, but I haven't been to Fuhu.
Oh, you gotta go. I got the steak and rice. Tried to keep it, you know, pretty simple. So my body knows what to do with it, digest it, you know, feel good. I would say steak and rice.
Nice, nice. All right, any more? One more good one, Harrington, before we let him go.
All right, this is a silly one from Cody Merrow. He's asking, would you ever consider hiring a professional blunt roller like Snoop Dogg?
No, I don't really smoke. I mean, people have I don't smoke as much as people think I do. You know, I'll smoke at night. Snoop Dogg smokes from fucking morning till bedtime. And I'm actually, this week, I told myself, no more fucking King Palms, no more of these for the week. I got to get these lungs back under control. I never really have an issue with, you know, being addicted to it and overdoing it too much. But when I know I'm about to enter camp, sometimes I go a little more heavy. Because I know I'm about to cut it out. So, no, I probably would not ever need a professional blunt roller.
No.
Thousands of tears later.
We're losing him, Brian. Are you there, Brian and Harrington?
I am.
Is anybody there? We're all there.
We're all here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there he is there, Sugar Sean O'Malley. Sean, we lost you at the end there due to the internet connection. But good luck with the rest of your camp. Really appreciate you joining us, making time for us, because O'Malley's a busy man. He's massively in demand. He's hugely popular. And he's always so gracious with his time. Anytime I ask him to do the podcast, he's like, yep. He said, I love doing the podcast. Love, believe you me. Anytime. So, Sean, it truly, truly means a lot. And wish you all the best in your camp and the fight. All right, guys, let's talk about Manscaped right now. Manscaped are offering the Performance Package 4.0. You know the deal. Downstairs needs trimming. It needs cleaning. It needs tidying. It needs keeping in order. But you don't want to hurt yourself. You don't want to nick yourself. You don't want to cut yourself. The Manscaped 4.0 is the way to go. It's an incredible improvement from their initial product, which was already sensational. But right now, you get in the Performance Package. In that, you find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the number one ball trimmer on the market. You can do it in the dark. It's got lights. It's electric. It's waterproof. You know, it's got a fast motor. Most importantly, it won't cut you. In that, though, you get the ear whacker, the weed whacker, the ear and nose hair trimmer. You get the crop preserver ball deodorant, the crop reviver toner. You get the performance boxer briefs and a travel bag to hold all your goodies in. Or you can go for the Shear 2.0 kit. Yes, you get the stainless nail cutters for your horrible little toenails. You get the tweezers, you get the grooming scissors. You take care of your feet. You should be taking care of your feet. You should be grooming your balls, but you want to do it, you know, in a painless process. You don't want to hurt yourself. You know, just manscaping. Is it manscaping or is it man grooming? Whichever one it is, you want to get it, and you want to get it at 20% off by going to manscaped.com. Use the code Bisping20, 20% off, free shipping, but only when you use the code Bisping20. The performance package 4.0. Every man should have this, I think, in their life. They just sent me one. It's phenomenal. I love it. Get yours today. Manscaped.com. Bisping20, 20% off, free shipping. All right, Saturday night, we did have some fights as well, so we'll just talk about that and go through the results real quick. It was an incredible night. If you like finishes, then oh my God, every single fight, there was a finish. Prior to the fight not happening, sadly, there was a couple of fights dropped off. So I think it went from 11 fights to 9 fights or 12 fights to 10. The fucking fights were finishing fast, fast, fast. So it was fucking... We need filler. We need to go to the desk. Break down this one. Do you know what I mean? Because like fucking, you know, there's a window of a certain amount of time they have to fill. But the fights were just ending like that. It was unreal. Unbelievable. It was the first night, the first time in a UFC event since 2014 when I fought Luke Rockhold in Sydney, Australia, when I got choked out. That was the last time, 8 years ago almost, since every single fight finished on the entire card. So yeah, good shit at the weekend.
I mean, you certainly earned your paycheck. There was a lot of filler. There was a lot of video packages. I got to learn a lot about all the Ultimate Fighter contender.
There was finalists. Only me and Fitzgerald as well, because Paul Felder's lady is pregnant. So, like, you know, they thought the baby... Well, I don't know if the baby's come yet, but it was touch and go. They thought she might have been going into labor, so she wasn't there. So it was just me and Fitzgerald. You know, we were going deep. We were going hard. Do you know who else was going hard? Jamal Hill in the main event.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Segue. Jamal Hill, I mean, what a guy that is. You know, I love his career. I love what he brings to the table. Love the way he fights. Love his attitude. And he didn't change. You know, going in there against Thiago Santos, an absolute killer of a man. A man that's almost became the champion, you know, who's a very dangerous person. Heavy hands, knockout power in every limb. And Jamal Hill, fucking, he looks great, I thought. You know, Santos had a very wrestling-heavy game plan. Jamal's takedown defense stood up to the test. He was able to, you know, keep the fight on the feet and then, you know, did a lot of damage with his hands. I mean, it was a great performance.
Well, I mean, you said it yourself. He did look great. To me, he looked almost a little too great, right? He looked a little too confident, jumping in, like literally jumping in to start exchanges and swinging punches from midair on a guy like Thiago Santos. Like, I walked away from that fight thinking, like, him and Jiří Procházka might be the most entertaining 28-second fight that's ever happened, because I don't see either one of those guys taking a step back and both just absolutely swinging for the fences at all times. It's a very exciting style.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got to get Jamal Hill back on because he's an exciting guy as well. When you speak to him, you know, he's got a real personality. Obviously, we had him on the show that time and told us a few stories. So we've got to get him back on again. But he's got a fucking chin. Thiago Santos was swinging, as was Jamal, and he ate a couple, you know, and we've seen Santos fold people, put them to sleep. And Jamal took his best shots, carried on fighting, defended the takedowns very, very well. You know, when you look at Jamal Hill, you wouldn't think that he had this crazy power. You know, he's not like a super ripped guy. You know, he's not like, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's got a good physique. He's in good shape, but he's not someone that you look at and go, whoa, you know, like Francis Ngannou, you know, that guy's going to pack a punch. When you look at Jamal, go on.
Like Rumble at 205, yeah. Right? That guy looked massive. Jamal doesn't have that.
No, that's right. He's tall, he's athletic, you know, but he's longer and he's slender. You know what I mean? So you don't see him as having this crazy knockout power. But fuck me, man. When he connects with people, he does real fucking damage. Let's just quickly rip through these before we get to some of the news. Jeff Neal defeated Vicente Luque. Great fucking knockout that one was. My God, what was it? Third round KO. Left hand straight, put him to sleep pretty much. I love Vicente Luque. He's such a nice guy, but he's an absolute fucking killer in the octagon. Sadly, that's two in a row now that he's lost. But Jeff Neal, big stuff there. Mohamed Usman, right? Zach Pounger. Two names you might not know. Maybe you know Mohamed Usman, the brother of the pound for pound. Did you see that knockout, Harrington?
Oh, of course. Of course.
Fuck me. Right. So Muhammad Usman's a very, very powerful guy. This was the final of the Ultimate Fighter. Still got, you know, a little work to do, but it's a process, you know? You know, he'll refine things as you go along. That's what you do. You get better. He's just getting into the UFC now. So he was looping a lot of shots, you know. But fucking hell, when he connected, it was just a little short left hook. Put his guy to sleep immediately. You know, and it reminded me of UFC 100 when I got bingoed. And fucking, what here it is. Just a little. And then look at that. He's a strong guy. You can see that just from his physique. I mean, he's almost as fucking jacked as I am. I'm joking. Relax, Harrington. But the hammer fist that he dropped on him again. And he's looking at the referee got to him. Because if he took a couple more of them, God knows what we might have had in our hands. Because I know Dana was very, very concerned. Because when he was led there on the canvas, he was asleep for quite some time. And I was like standing there kind of in shock. And I have to walk into the cage to do the interview. And I go past Dana. I remember him saying to someone, we got to get into the hospital, got to get into the hospital. And then someone goes, oh, he's awake, his feet are moving. But it's one thing to see it on TV. But when you see it there, 6 feet away from you, it's a human being that you were just talking to, whatever. And then they're motionless. And you're like, you never know. Is this going to be the fucking one? Do you know what I mean? So, wow, it's not a game.
I was going to ask, what's the longest you remember anyone being down after a knockout?
There's been a few that were really bad. I'm trying to think now off the top of my head, but I can't think of the names. But still, there we go. Well done to Muhammad Usman. Looking forward to that one. And then, there we go. No. Bring it back to what you want to talk about.
I'm going to try a little segue, right? I put this in the notes for later, a little bit later on. But since we're talking about Mr. Usman right now, a bunch of threads are going around on Reddit, on Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. Are the Usman brothers right now the premier brother combination in MMA history? And a two-on-two, two-brother versus two-brother, do they beat every other pair?
Well, what other brothers do we have out there?
You've got the Pettis brothers. You've got the
Nogueira brothers. The Pettis brothers, 100%. No offense. Love a bit of Anthony Pettis. And he had a very entertaining fight the other day, I believe, in the PFL that Harrington was at. And he's dying to talk about. But I'm like, too much UFC stuff. Sorry. Sergio, great fighter. They're just too small. Who else we got? Nogueira brothers. Love the Nogueira brothers. Come on, how can you not love them? Reality is a little bit past it these days. A little bit past the prime. But I don't know. They're big. I'll take. I'm having noggin, big noggin, little nog. They'll take anyone. Fuck it. Right. Sorry, Usman.
Fair enough. All right.
And if you ask Chael, they'll take a bus home.
Yeah, and he'll feed them a carrot. Oh shit, that was good. All right, what do we have? Harrington, give me one more non-MMA. Who is Anne Heche?
Anne Heche, she's an actress.
She used to be married to Ellen DeGeneres. That's really what got her a bunch of famous.
So I've never heard her name before in my life, but the way you put it in the notes was that, like, I should do. Go on, break it down. Tell me the story.
I think she won an Academy Award. If not, she was nominated for one way back in the 90s. She had, like, a pretty big tabloid career. Well, later on in life, she's doing a podcast, right? And it's her and her friend in one episode, right, that was released on a Thursday, right? There was a video of her drinking vodka with wine chasers. Shortly after this episode was released, she had a fiery car accident where you could see a bottle of the same vodka from the podcast in the center console. So the suspect is that, or it's suspected that she was drinking and driving. She crashed to a garage, kept on driving, and eventually crashed into a house, causing a fiery car wreck.
She kept going after she hit the garage?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, it's not awesome. It's awful. Is what it is. You know what I mean?
Sure. Awesome doesn't necessarily mean good. Listen,
it's an awesome commitment to drink and driving. So, no, I'm in this deep. I'm going to continue. I guess you could see a kind of awesome twist to that. But no. I don't know who this person is. I mean, what do you want me to do? No one wants to hear me sitting there and going, drink driving's bad. Yeah, we know that. Ellen DeGeneres will not be happy. This is not good PR.
No. It's not great, especially with her name being brought up to us associated with this on the Believe in Me podcast. Come on, she'll never recover from that.
There was no recovering. There was no recovery. I'm looking at these. What is going on with Casper? What's going on with the mattress company?
So Casper Mattress is looking to hire a professional sleeper.
Call my wife.
How much? She's the best.
She's the best fucking sleeper on planet Earth. She will fucking go to sleep anywhere. She loves to sleep. 7 o'clock, let's go up. I'm like, no, it's 7 o'clock. We have guests. Do you know what I mean? When you have guests at your house, you can't go up to bed at 7, 7:30. The kids are at college. Callum comes back from college. She's like, 8 o'clock, let's go up. I'm like, no, this should be family movie time. And she said, no one wants fucking family movie time, Michael. Okay. They all hate it. They're all trying to get out of the room. Let's just go to bed. Okay. Watch some Netflix. So yeah, go on. She'd be great. But what's the angle, Harrington?
So the idea is the sleeper is supposed to, you know, take Casper products, right? Like their pillows, their mattresses, their blankets, whatever, and find themselves like real world situations to sleep in, right? So like if you want to set up a Casper, you know, bedtime on, you know, a subway car, right? Or in the desert or in the, you know, backseat of a Winnebago at Burning Man, let's say, right? The idea is you go around, put yourself in these sleeping scenarios, take a picture of yourself, and then document life as a professional sleeper on Instagram. They're basically just trying to go viral on TikTok, but they will pay you to take some naps.
I was going to say, like, what do you get out of that? Why would you do that? I mean, a bit of social media clout. Who the fuck wants that anyway for Casper mattresses? But they'll throw you a few dollars, will they? All right. Well, listen, if you're hard up, okay, and you need a few quid and you want to go get some naps, there you go. Put it all together. Make yourself a few quid.
You are describing me, by the way. A man who could really use a nap and a little bit extra cash.
Yeah, yeah. I want to talk about this one because this is all utter fucking bullshit. Israel Adesanya will be back in action. UFC 281 going down in November against Alex Pereira. Yeah, that's a great fight. In fact, didn't another fight just get announced for that fight card as well?
UFC 281. I know they were working on Chandler versus Poirier last week. I don't know if it's been confirmed yet.
Chandler versus Poirier. I mean, fucking hell. Izzy's going to get those pay-per-view points because that's a big fight. I think a lot of people are intrigued by that one. You throw Poirier and Chandler on there. You throw Paddy the Baddy on there because there's talk of, you know, the fucking O2 Arena's not big enough anymore, mate. And you know, wherever Paddy goes, Molly's going to be there as well. You know, fucking hell, that'd be a great card. I was talking to Israel Adesanya last week. I do a podcast called My Fight, which is getting released on Audible some point soon. I don't know. But so we had Izzy on for an episode. We had a really, really good chat. So we were talking about this a little bit. He's excited. He's excited for he gets the chance to close the book once and for all. He said, listen, you know, he caught me. He caught me with the left hook. Good for him. He doesn't deny that. He said, but I was winning the fight. The fight before that, he said, if you go and watch that fight, you'll see I was screwed on the judges. So, you know, I haven't actually gone and watched it all. I will do. But for him, this is a good, you know, because in many ways you might think this is the bogeyman for Israel Adesanya. Beaten twice in kickboxing, he comes to MMA. Now this guy's coming over to MMA. And you never know. It might be. You might be. I think early prediction, I think Izzy pulls it off. I think he's improved greatly since he came to the UFC. I think he's such a massive star now and everything that he's got, the lifestyle, the fame and fortune, you know, he's not going to want to give that up. Of course, it's not that easy. Pereira wants everything he has and is going to be extremely confident and motivated coming into this. Remember Dana White said at the last press conference after Jared Cannonier, he said, yeah, that one wasn't the best, but I guarantee the next fight will be good. And it will be because Pereira knows he can knock him out and he's a big, aggressive motherfucker and he's gonna go at it. Simple as that.
So I was having this conversation with a friend yesterday. Like, do you think this actually does bring like the most aggressive or active version of Israel Adesanya we've ever seen? Or do you think that this brings about like the most cautious version of Israel Adesanya we've ever seen? The one that's going to try to move and stay out of range as much as possible and just keep getting ahead on points, knowing that he has these skeletons in his closet of the two loss to him, the one knockout to him, and not put himself anywhere near a position where he could lose this fight.
Maybe a bit of everything, maybe all of the above. You know, the reality is, though, at some point, Pereira's a big guy. You know, I don't know if he's as tall and as long, but I think he is. He's like 6'4". He's very, very long. So a lot of the natural attributes that Israel Adesanya has that makes him so successful is his size and his length. It's not just that. He's an incredibly technical striker as well. He's got a great mind. He's got a great belief system. You need all these things. But Pereira has all that as well. So therefore, they match up well. On top of that, Pereira knows he can knock him out. Pereira's aggressive. He comes forward. He swings a lot. Yeah, Izzy's going to be tactical and all that type of stuff. But Pereira's also going to have success. So when Pereira cuts off the cage, if Izzy is trying to back away, at some point throughout 25 minutes, they're going to be forced to throw fucking down. And the best form of defense is attack. Certainly in a fight, if your fucking guy's coming at you and he's cutting off the cage and he's coming at you big time, you've got to fire back. You've got to fire back. And look at Izzy versus Kelvin Gastelum. I mean, what a fucking fight that was. I honestly feel that we're going to see something like that. I feel like it's going to be something special.
They're pretty evenly matched. Izzy has him beat by 1 inch in reach, and that's right. It.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a massive reach. What is it, Brian? What is his actual reach? 80 inches, I think?
80 to 79.
80 to 79. So, yeah, he's probably going up against guys typically with a 75-inch reach. So 5 inches is decent. It's good. It's good. It's a great fight. It's an exciting fight. It's a logical fight. People might think Pereira's coming in and getting it too quick. Only had 3 wins in the UFC. But he just beat Sean Strickland. He was ranked number 5. People were talking about Strickland getting a title shot. So he knocked him out in style in round 1. You beat the man, you become the man.
Yeah, and also, I mean, Jiří Procházka is currently a world champion with what, 3 fights in the promotion? Like,
yeah, but he was a champion of other promotions and he'd been around the MMA world and seen for a very, very long time.
I'm not arguing with this. I mean, Khamzat's in a similar position now, arguably a fight away from a title, you know, just a few fights into his career. Realistically, if you can take that shot when you first get in and make the most of it and make it so that there is no denying you a title shot, who is anyone to say who is right and justified?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hey, listen, the reality is, much like Jiří Procházka, he had a big reputation in kickboxing. You know, I've heard people describe Alex Pereira as the best kickboxer of his generation. If that's the case, then, you know, and certainly he's got a tremendous record. He's got a hype train. He's got a history. He's got a history of Adesanya. He's got 2 fucking wins over the champ. Anytime that happens, you're going to see it. Like, I remember Chuck Liddell back in the day. Who did he beat? He had a fight. Who was it? And he had a title defense against someone because they tapped him out earlier in his career. And it didn't really make sense, but he was like, well, he has a win over him. So he wants to get revenge. Just bring up Chuck Liddell. Let me just have a look. I need to know.
Bring it up right now. This is
Chuck Liddell. Who is it?
Jeremy Horn?
Jeremy Horn. That's exactly who I'm thinking of. Yeah, okay. Jeremy Horn tapped him out back in the day. So they were like, all right, that's how it is. Someone has a win over you. Certainly two in kickboxing. And people are saying that Izzy isn't exciting. He is, but, you know, some of the fights have been strategic. This ticks all the boxes. Number one, he can get revenge. He can get rid of that monkey off his back or whatever the expression is. And then he can fucking, it will be exciting. It's 2 kickboxers. I don't think any man's going to go for a takedown.
No, certainly not. I mean, it's not like Izzy has got like a crazy offensive wrestling game. I mean, maybe in like a weird Francis Ngannou fighting Cyril Gane way, it's like maybe Izzy just smoked us all and learned how to get like a solid double leg and Pereira can't defend that.
I guarantee it right now. It's one thing you learn how to wizard, you get underhooks, you learn how to defend the single legs and all the rest of it. That's one set of skills. That is not the same set of skills. Defensive wrestling is completely different to offensive wrestling. You know, maybe there might be a little foot trip, a little sweep here and there. Maybe he does the best takedown in the game. Solid fucking left hook. You know, and then follows him down. Who knows? But I don't think we're going to see too much grappling. Good old-fashioned kickboxing fighting. 4-ounce gloves. Take my fucking money. Sign me up. Throw a subject at me, Harrington. Maybe non-MMA, if there's a good one there. If there's not a good one, then shame on you.
Shame.
No, I think this could work. This could definitely work. A pro-America, Utah-based company that's called Lions Not Sheep.
I didn't want you to bring up this one.
Okay.
Well, because, you know, like, see, it's a topic at the start. I'm saying all guns and stuff, and now you're bringing up the Lions Not Sheep. You know what I mean? If we've got a fucking massive contingent of Trumpers watching this show, they're not going to like what I have to say on this.
they will be just as outraged as you are, Michael Bisping. I genuinely do believe that. I think the right is going to be as mad as the left is on this one. This company, Alliance for Sheep, fined nearly $250K after they were caught replacing the label that says made in China with slogans like, are your products USA made? 100% American made. Oh. And best effing American made gear on the planet.
So that is, what is it? What is it? What do you
call
it?
False advertising?
Fraud.
Yeah. That's a better way to put it. There's fraud, false advertising, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, all right. But it's not really much of a discussion, is it? Yeah, they're shit. They're liars. They're scumbags. You know, they're lying to their people, to their fucking masses, to their following. What else do you want me to say on it?
Well, but I mean, we are talking about the most, you know, have you ever seen a product, right, where their marketing slogan is so anti, like that's up there with cigarette companies saying doctors recommend Camel over RJ Reynolds, right? There has never been more lying advertising than something like that.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I'm going to look at your ones. I'm thinking more about Mike Tyson, Dana White, and not that we want to sit here and just say how awesome Dana is, but this is pretty fucking awesome of him, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Tyson himself said it. Dana White was offered millions of dollars from Hulu to advertise for this new Mike Tyson narrative series that they're doing to make them like an official sponsor on a few UFC cards. Dana White said, no, Mike Tyson's a friend of mine. He does not believe in this thing that you're putting out. Tyson had previously sold his life rights, so he doesn't get a say in how this is being made. And he thinks it's an absolute lie. It's a farce, and it's not a very, you know, truthful reenactment. So Dana White, standing by his friend, says, keep your money. We're not advertising your crappy show.
Yeah, well, I mean, what a shitty situation for Mike Tyson. You know what I mean? So he sold his life rights. I don't know anything about it. I just know what you've just told me and what you put in the headline. I mean, all right, you can sit there and you can say, well, he shouldn't have done that, you know, but I'm sure he was, I don't know. I don't know why he would do that, why he would sell your life rights. I mean, maybe he got a shit ton of money out of it at the time.
Or
maybe
he owed a fuck ton of money. He owed a fuck ton of money in back taxes and like settlements. So I'm sure that's part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. No, he definitely. I mean, he's done a great job of like kind of rebounding, shall we say, at one point. I mean, he's known, isn't he, for having $400 million and blowing through a lot of it. I mean, what a time he must have had. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ, you know, not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time. He took the fucking ball and ran with that saying, didn't he? Jesus Christ, Tigers, you name it. I mean, he had some fun. But that's, isn't that great, Dana? Getting off of millions of dollars to promote it. I'm assuming that was the UFC. They wanted the UFC to promote it, maybe on their airwaves or whatever. That makes sense.
Yeah,
standing by your friend. That's what it's all about, man. Loyalty.
Mm-hmm. And Tyson is actually currently fighting with Hulu right now. He says it's a David versus Goliath style case. He is David, the, you know, published streaming giant is Goliath in this case. And he's saying his life rights deal really expired years and years ago, the life rights that he sold away. So Hulu, with the purchase that they made in trying to make this show, is really unscrupulous and underhanded, trying to make this show.
Yeah, I know. I haven't seen any documents, but it wouldn't surprise me one little bit. So what is it? Just like a biography, a documentary about his life?
It's like a narrative series, right? So like they have an actor playing a young Mike Tyson, and they're going to like dramatize growing up as a young kid in Brownstone, Brooklyn.
Oh, right. So,
it's Everybody Hates Chris, but for Mike Tyson.
I gotta be honest, that sounds pretty cool though. I would like to see it.
So I'd love to see it, but Tyson's saying that the whole narrative that they're going with is like they're taking this young black man who is exploited by people and doing like this whole kind of woke narrative about it. And Tyson's like, that's not my story. That's not my story at all. Nobody exploited me. I made my own decisions, right? Like, I'm proud of the man that I am today. Why are you painting this like I was a naive young kid who got taken advantage of? Screw
really?
You guys. Yeah.
Oh, really? So it's not exactly insulting to Tyson, apart from that it's insulting from a perspective that you're just repainting the narrative just to fit this woke agenda and all this. He's probably like, listen, I was a wild fucking guy. You know, I made my bed. I'm happy to fucking lie in it. Everything worked out fine in the end. You know, he's got his cannabis strains. He's got his podcast. He has no doubt a bunch of other businesses that we don't know about. Do you know what I mean? But it's like, right, interesting. Well, good for him.
Yeah. Good luck to Mike Tyson standing up to the bad guys.
No, there we go. And good luck to Mike Tyson for smacking the fuck out of dickheads on aeroplanes as well. My God. All right. Let's have a look at the MMA news. Nick Diaz. I saw this one on doing the rounds on social media. Over to you, Harrington.
So his coach is saying that Nick Diaz went into that Robbie Lawler fight with an extremely serious neck injury. Let's see here. Robbie's a great tough fighter and everything, and Nick was doing great. Then you can kind of see Nick is kind of fading as the fight wore on. Nick had an operation very recently here 7 weeks ago. So two of the discs had ruptured in his neck before the fight. He was having numbness in his hands, why he didn't make 170 and the fight had to be brought up to 185.
Yeah. I mean, listen, everyone loves Nick Diaz. I don't need to sit here and toot his horn. Although I think a lot of fighters have issues like that. And I'm not downplaying them or anything like I had it. I had numbness. I had to have the neck surgery. I did that injury in 2013, but I continued with it. By the way, I'm not taking anything away from Nick Diaz or whatever. I'm just like, it doesn't surprise me is what I'm saying. Do you know what I mean? What you go through training for these type of fights, the amount of wrestling, it's the wrestling. It's always the fucking wrestling. It doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me. Of course, who was that? Cesar Gracie. That's his longtime coach. He's going to say stuff like that because obviously it's good to try and, I want to say damage control. It's not damage control, but it's like, hey, here's what Nick was going through back then. And that's fair enough. And he's had surgery. I just hope Nick Diaz comes back for one more or 10 more, who cares? But I'd like to see him back in there just simply because you don't want to see a guy like Nick Diaz, you know, a guy that gave so much to this sport, helped build it, has such a fan base, such a fan-friendly style. The fights that he put on, he has a very enigmatic personality. He's a very unique individual. You know, people love Nick Diaz and I do. I think he's fucking incredible. I love his career. And to go out like that against Robbie Lawler, which was a great fight while it lasted, don't get me wrong. I don't think it would... It's not fair on his career, do you know what I mean? It's not the kind of send-off that he needs. You know, I would like to see him get a shot of going in there 100% healthy, in shape. I mean, come on, he was a little heavy, wasn't he? He was out of shape. I mean, you know, there was definitely some excess there around the midsection. You know, no one wants to see Nick Diaz go out like that. You know, I'd love to see him come back, get in shape, though, properly and prepare and, you know, give a good account of himself.
Well, I mean, you know, you said it yourself in there, right? Like, you dealt with that neck injury in 2013, right? You went on to win the belt, a couple years later. You didn't have the neck surgery until after you retired. Do you think, right, given the time to recover from the injury and, like, do the rehab and continue to fight, would it have made you, would it have helped or hindered your performance in the cage post-neck surgery?
Yeah, well, it would have helped, let's be honest. Yeah. Well, saying that, I don't feel much different these days. I really don't. I don't feel any. I'm always, you might see I'm always doing this. I'm always stretching my neck. It's painful, always so bloody painful. But one would assume that it does. Yeah, no, listen, it's painful, but it's not as bad as what it used to be. Yeah, okay. I think I've forgotten how bad the pain was. Aljamain Sterling had it done. You know, and he's come back and he's fighting at a higher level. It definitely would have helped. Has Nick had the surgery?
Yeah, so he's saying, his coach is saying about 6-7 weeks ago he had the surgery. Right. So he was walking around with that for a while. So he's got some road to recovery, but, you know, maybe.
He'll be good to go in no time because it's a very invasive surgery. Obviously, you can see the scar there on my neck. They slice you open, they push your throat and all your, you know, insides to the side to reveal the spine. They take out one of the discs, they put a titanium plate in and four screws. And if he had two done, then obviously he had that done twice. So it sounds awful, but that's why I put it off for so many years. But when I had it done, it was kind of a walk in the park. And then I had you got to take it easy for a little bit. And I had like this pouch. It was all connected into, you know, like the blood would release into like this pouch and whatnot. It was kind of fucking gross. I'm walking around with like a colostomy bag. You know what I mean? I was like, yeah, I had like a colostomy bag, you know, attached to me with blood and fucking like yellow shit. I don't know what you call it.
Pus?
Pus.
Bile,
pus, blood, shit, snot, all of it connected, walking around with your little colostomy bag. It's a good look.
That's a fun pull my finger.
Yeah. But he'll be back. He'll be back. I hope so. Anyway, I hope so. All right. Listen, you've put it in the notes. We'll talk about it. But what are you saying about Jake Paul, Harrington?
Well, it's not what I'm saying. It's what some MSG representatives are saying, right? Jake Paul said that he was on target to sell quite a few tickets to his pay-per-view. And people, like I said, official people from MSG are agreeing. They're saying that their projections had it as a top 10 boxing event over the last 15 years for the Garden, if it had been able to go through.
Who's the rep? Who said this? Who said this? Is this according to Jake Paul? Is this according to Jake Paul's publicist?
No, this was an article that was written by one of these MMA news sites. I will look up exactly. Yeah. I don't think they quoted the guy. I think it was an anonymous source from MSG.
Old anonymous source. Okay. Of course. Whoa. This was trending to be a top 10 boxing event of all time. So why'd you cancel it? Because Rackman showed up and he did a mock weigh-in. And yeah, he missed the 205-pound weight limit by a pound. He weighed in at 206. You know, the Contender Series happening tomorrow. In the main event, you got a very talented wrestler called Bo Nickel. He's fighting somebody. I forget his name right now off the top of my head. Hold on, I've got it right here. Zach Barrigo missed weight by 1.5 pounds, 1.7 pounds. But you know what? The fight's still going ahead because that's what happens in combat sports. And if it's professional combat sports and there's a lot of money, they get a little bit of your purse. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, he would have missed weight by a pound, but the fight would have still gone ahead, you know? So who is the anonymous source, Harrington?
I'm looking here. On Thursday, the MSG representative, who asked to remain anonymous due to sensitivity of the matter, spoke to MMA Fighting in an attempt to clear the box office.
Jake Paul's, what was it like? Even your tone of voice, who was on? Like, you're very defensive. You're very defensive for Jake Paul.
I'm just reading an article from you know, a somewhat respected MMA publication.
What is the publication again?
MMA Fighting.
Very respectable publication, but an anonymous source. Nah, I'm sorry. If it's an anonymous source, that anonymous source can kiss my ass.
I will say, right?
Why would it be an anonymous source? If it's truth, if it's factual, if it's Madison Square Garden, it's a very highly world-respected arena. They've put an event on. It's all above board. It's all legit, right? The doctors and everyone said this cannot continue. Because of that, there will be no problem coming forward and saying, hello, my name is Mr. Michael Smith, and I am the director of public relations for the Madison Square Garden event. And I have it here, according to my notes here, we actually sold 9,000 and something on tickets for the third highest gate. They would have no problem putting that out there. Anonymous source.
I'll bet you anything, dollars to donuts, though, Michael Smith has to deal with a certain Dana White and the rest of the UFC production staff for UFC 281 coming up, and he doesn't want to throw him under the bus.
Not throwing anyone under the bus. They are open. They're open for business. If everyone wants, they're not in business with the UFC. Yeah, they'll be partners on those events, but they're not going to say, fuck, can't do this because we have the UFC on. What are they doing when they've got fucking, I don't know, what's he called? Billy Joel. When Billy Joel's playing, they're like, oh shit, we can't talk about how good the ticket sales were because fucking we've got, Who's someone else that's in competition with Billy Joel?
Bruce Springsteen's coming.
We got the boss. We got Bruce Springsteen on next week. We can't talk about Billy Joel's ticket sales. You know what I mean? We got Lady Gaga and Elton John next week. Whoa. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. And it doesn't work like pulling out of your fights. He's gone from Hazeem Rahman Jr., who had a very respectable 15-1 record, and now he's calling out KSI again.
And getting shot down.
By who?
KSI. KSI was like, nah, he's going to go fight some rapper who he used to perform with back in the day.
Well, who the hell bloody cares? Right,
I don't. So I wasn't in the notes.
It's in the notes. All right, real quick, I want to talk to you about Element. Listen, this day and age, you're working out, you're sweating a lot. If you're anything like me, you're sweating a lot. That's a goddamn fact. You want to rehydrate and you want to make sure you get all those electrolytes back into your system for several reasons. It'll keep you energized, it'll keep you focused and keep you feeling good and hydrated. But you don't want to do it whilst taking on a ton of sugar and carbohydrates and just basically a bunch of nonsense. And that is where Element comes in. It is a tasty electrolyte drink mixed with everything you need and nothing that you don't. That means lots of salt with no sugar. It contains a science-backed electrolyte ratio. 1,000 milligram of sodium, 200 milligram potassium, 60 milligrams of magnesium, all good stuff. With none of the junk, as I said, no sugar, no coloring, no artificial ingredients, no gluten, no fillers, no bullshit. Listen, Element can help prevent and eliminate headaches, muscle cramps, fatigue, sleeplessness, and other common symptoms of electrolyte deficiency. You probably don't know that, but when you sweat, the primary electrolyte lost is sodium. Athletes lose up to 7 grams per day. And when sodium is not replaced, it is common to experience muscle cramps, fatigue, headaches, you know, and you're just not focused throughout your day. So right now, give it a shot. You want, what's that? What are you saying? You want to try some out? You want a great free package? Well, let me tell you right now, Element is offering my listeners a free sample pack with any purchase. That's 8 single serving packets free with any Element order. This is a great way to try all 8 flavors or share Element with a salty friend. Get yours at drink, L-M-N-T, you know, Element, drink, LMNT.com/believe. This deal is only available through my link. You must go to drinklmnt.com/believe. Okay. You get a little order. You get 8 sachets. Try it risk-free. And if you don't like it, share it with a salty friend and they will give you your money back. No questions asked. You have nothing to lose. Drinklmnt.com/believe for the free 8 flavor pack. Okay. Where were we? I would love an update on Anthony Smith's leg. I want to know how he's doing. It was a lovely outpour of support, by the way, from all the believers. We appreciate you all. Of course, Anthony will appreciate a lot of nice messages. I'd appreciate a fucking good show, Michael, now and again. But whatever. It's Anthony Smith's fucking podcast, isn't it, these days? What am I? Chopped liver, Harrington. And if I'm chopped liver, I don't know what you are.
A garnish. Dog shit. Certainly a garnish. Dog
shit. You're dog shit.
No, like a little basil hanging out on the side harsh. Of the plate.
Anthony Smith will be back on Thursday. Want to say big thank you to Sugar Sean O'Malley. That was very cool of him to stop by. Very busy man. We're going to do some questions. If you want to send a question, you send it in to bympod@gmail.com. We like them funny, we like them original, we like them a little bit spicy, we like whatever you want. We also like Harrington to give his plugs as well.
If you are enjoying this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure that you're subscribed to the show and leave a 5-star rating, positive review. Helps us out on all those algorithms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel and hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new episode drops. And while we're at it, hit that like button. It's right there. Also, if you want to catch over 300 episodes you can't find anywhere else, head on over to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial and get locked in to this membership price before it goes up in just a couple of weeks.
There you go. There you go. Nicely done, Harrington.
All right. So first up for questions today, you know what it is.
Oh, my God.
Oh, our old friend, son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. My question, Michael Bisping, you have beautiful hair. How much time do you spend every day to make it that beautiful? And have you considered saving some time every day by just going bald again? And Anthony Smith, you don't have hair. Thanks, everybody.
I don't know who that guy is.
You don't know who that is.
That's Roland Victor. He's got to be. That's got to be Roland Victor for sure, but I don't know if it is or not. Is it? Do we have confirmation?
I mean, I would bet literally my house on it.
Same. It literally comes from a different email address.
Yeah, no, so he's literally covering his tracks up pretty well, but I like it. He's funny, man. He's funny. If it is Roland Victor, you are a fucking legend. Keep them coming, my friend. The hair. No, it takes 2 seconds. I swear to God, 2 seconds. Really? Like, I swear to God, I just go a little bit of the gel, throw it. Well, it's not even gel. It's like some kind of product. I forget what you call it. And then just push it back because obviously I can't get a haircut right now and I'm trying to grow the beard, but I'm kind of liking it actually. And then just push it back and that's that. It takes 5 seconds. 5 seconds. What did he say? Would I ever shave the head again?
Yeah, to save some time, would you ever go back to the skinhead look?
I'm hoping because I leave next Wednesday for this film that I'm doing. And that's why I was doing horse riding this morning, you know, getting those lessons in, picking it up pretty quick, if I do say so myself. So I'm comfortable now on a horse and looking forward to swinging around. And I was saying before, weren't I? Because I put a picture on Instagram, and on the picture, you know, I'm sitting on the horse. I was trying to think of a caption. I was going to put, getting ready to pillage. And, you know, meaning because I'm playing a barbarian. And then my wife and my mate, they're staying in. They're like, no, Mike, you'll get canceled on Instagram for that. You can't say that.
We're probably going to get canceled on YouTube for it now.
I never said that. But still, when I get there, I even said to him, I said, how about you shave the head? Well, you shave the head. So that's an option. You never know. I hope so. Anthony's not here, but Roll of Vixer or some of a bitch is absolutely right. Anthony has no hair.
Well, I mean, it's the easiest hairstyle possible, right? You just can't beat it. Every couple of days, just get it, bang out. No problem. Quick question. Speaking of horses, though, did you see our boy Bisbing now 2-0?
Oh, I did. I did see that. If you don't know what we're talking about, there was a racehorse out there. Is that his second race?
As far as I know, it's his second race, and he's 2-0 in both races he's been in.
I mean, come on. With a name like Bisping, come on, what do you expect? Brian, what else we got, buddy?
So we have a question here from Mr. Doug Norton.
Hi, guys. So I recently took up BJJ at the age of 40. I'm not going to build it into anything it's not. I've literally had two sessions. I know absolutely nothing, and I'll probably know very little for a long time, but I'm loving it. When I watch somebody like Charles Oliveira fight, the stuff is really... Well, sometimes, to me anyway, it seems very, very complicated. I just wondered, what are some fights that someone who's new to BJJ should check out, which showcase basic, really high quality, but just basic fundamental BJJ? What should I check out? What fight should I watch? Cheers, guys.
That's a tough one to try and highlight particular fights. I mean, basically any of the submissions, you want to check them out. One that springs to mind for some reason is the way Anderson Silva triangled Chael Sonnen in round 5. Check that out, because it's a pretty basic setup, to be fair. Chael just got a little bit complacent in round 5. He was beating the crap out of Anderson Silva, on course to a shocking upset, and then just pushed one hand in, brought the other leg over the back of the neck, and then there it was. Charles Oliveira is unbelievable. Of course, if you're just starting, it might seem a little bit mind-blowing, but it's just one step at a time, you know, one, like just me with horse riding. I got it the first time. I was like, this was very alien. Second time, I understood it. Today, I was flowing decently. I was fucking trying to fucking gallop in it and giving it a giddy up. It's just the more you do it, practice makes perfect. And then you start to understand it. And only then, when you really start to understand it, do you really start to learn. You know, the expression is that only when you get your black belt do you really start to understand and learn martial arts, you know. So it takes a long, long time. It does. It takes a long time, a lot of practicing, a lot of drilling, a lot of training, a lot of frustration. But the reward you get when it clicks and it just sinks in, and when you sink the chokes in or whatever it is, it's a great feeling. You still do jiu-jitsu, Harrington?
Very rarely. I am training for another boxing match, so I don't have to get much jiu-jitsu in, but yeah, I do enjoy it. It's fun. It's definitely a new, it's like chess, but with your body. I can't, whatever.
Wow, that's a real original analogy. I've never heard that one before, Harrington. How did you come up with that? Wow, genius.
It's like physical chess.
Wow. Gegard Mousasi, what's another one? I mean, Khabib Nurmagomedov, watch him. He'll choke people out.
No, but I mean, specifically that fight, Mousasi versus Jacare, because most of it took place on the ground. And I remember the crowd booing like crazy, and that being the first time I ever processed, like, oh, this is high-level BJJ happening that I don't understand as a casual fan, but I can appreciate, you know, for what they're doing.
Damian Maia, check out his fights as well. Brian, go on. We got one more.
All right, we got one more from... Jordan Lamb. Norman, I'm sorry.
Oh, geez, get it right.
Hey, everyone. My name is Norman. Big fan here from Canada. Secretly recording this at work in the back, but who gives a fuck? Just want to say, Anthony, fuck all these haters. Give me all this hate for no freaking reason at all for your last fight. Like, these guys need to understand that y'all are fighting the best in the world. And shit happens in the sport, okay? So all these nerds and versions that think they know this and that, they don't. Anyways, my question is to you and Michael. After every loss or an hour, whatever, y'all receive so much hate from these random people on social media or even people in real life. And my question is, how do you guys deal with all the noise and hate? Because personally, if someone's talking shit about me, I have to say something. And yeah, that can sometimes get me in trouble. So yeah, my question is, how do you guys deal with the noise? And any advice for myself in how to deal with shit like that? Anyways, thank you, everyone. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Brian. Harrington, you're kind of cute. Anyways.
Oh, bless him. Well, thank you, Norman. We appreciate the question. Before we get into that, what do we think? Because he's in like a lab coat. He's got his name tag covering something up. And I saw a little bit of a C. I think he works in the, what do you call it? The pharmacy bit. The
CVS?
At CVS. But what do you call it? The pharmacy. Yeah, the pharmacy. I think he works in the pharmacy at CVS.
Oh, I thought he was a butcher at like a supermarket, like C-Town or something.
Yeah, but they're not going to have a big name tag, official looking.
Costco? Costco would have one. Ooh, like a big name tag.
That could be Costco because he's backstage. There was lots of boxes and stuff like that. He's a fucking Costco worker. Shout out, Norman. Get me a deal on a flat screen TV. What was the question? Oh.
How do you deal with the noise, the haters?
Just got to block it out. Just get used to it. You do get used to it. You know, I spoke about this when I was inducted into the Hall of Fame. I gave a little speech. And at the end of it, I was like, and all you people here, because people, mixed martial arts is full of fair weather fans, you know, and then afterwards you have people sending nice things and kissing your ass or saying you're great or saying you're inspired. But you also have a lot of people saying the exact opposite, you know, and it's crazy. It's crazy. And obviously I was retired and doing my Hall of Fame speech, so that didn't apply to me. But I was like, why would you do that? Why would you just have a little bit of compassion, have a little bit of thought? Why would you go to someone that's just dedicated their heart and soul into doing something that's come up short, that's failed for whatever reason? Certainly in Anthony's case, where he broke his goddamn leg, so it's not even his fault, and then spew hatred. Even in last week's comment section, there was a few people there. I saw it. I saw a few of them. 95% or maybe even 99%, very, very positive, but you always get the occasional dickhead. You would say it's like water off a duck's back, but it's not, you know. Sometimes, especially when you're fighting, it's a very personal thing. Sometimes it can get you. And that's why, and I've said this a few times, as human beings, we're drawn to that negativity. Like you'll go past a lot of nice stuff. You say, oh, that's great. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel good. That's nice. That's nice. Thank you. But then you see someone that says, yeah, you suck or whatever. And they either give you shit. And then they're the ones that you respond to. And they don't deserve it. You know, there was a tweet yesterday. I went to respond there and I wrote it out and I thought, no, I deleted it. I thought, no, why does he get a response and the other people don't? And they get a like. I can't respond to every single one. You know what I mean? But anyway, there we go. And that's the show. Because I got to go. What you want to know?
I was going to say, anybody who's saying something negative, chances are they're not doing too great in life. Seriously, what, like everyone I know who is successful speaks glowingly about pretty much everybody they talk to. And if they don't have anything nice to say, they just don't say it.
Well, it's just not a nice way to live your life. Being a hater, getting off on other people's misery. You know, I used to be a friend with this guy and, you know, I'm not going to say any names or whatever, but then I slowly started figuring out that he was just so toxic and just like took pleasure in seeing other people like get into trouble. And I'm not going to go into the trouble. You know, there was some, you know, when I was younger, like, you know, some people, you know, might have been like dabbling in some illegal substances. Do you know what I mean? And like, oh, did you hear about this guy? Ah, he got busted off the police and all the rest of it. And I was like, hold on. Is he a friend of yours? Do you know, is he your friend? So why are you so happy to see him in trouble? Do you know what I mean? I was like, I never understood that. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, and seeing people that are genuinely, some people get genuinely happy about seeing other people suffer, seeing them not even have a fall from grace, just people suffering, people going through misery. Some people get off on that shit. And if you know someone like that, you got to cut them out of your fucking life because all they're going to do is bring you down. They're going to want you to always be failing and never getting ahead in life. If you know anyone like that, you got to cut them out like a fucking cancer, any kind of bad habit. Because there is, it's weird. There's some, and to your point, you're absolutely right, Harrington. Some people, because ultimately they're jealous and they're not happy with how their life has panned out. And if that isn't the case, it's just because they're not a good person, you know?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Ending on some positivity, man.
A little bit of positivity. Cut that shit out like a cancer. Cut it out like a bad habit. And we'll see you on Monday. Big shout out once again, Sugar Sean O'Malley. Harrington, great job as always. Brian, always there with a good little one-liners. We love you, buddy. And that's about it. That's the show. We got to go. Harrington, no more intro. Bye.